I'd like to welcome you to the March 9th, 2022 meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by the City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes and new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance of a approval or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. At this time, please make sure that everybody is muted. If you are public and you have a public comment, you'll use the raise your hand feature. That makes sure we can have a clear record. Sign postings. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Hearing none, we will go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. And I will go ahead and read those. Number one is petition of Paul Bilevenu, 22-000529-COA, located at 548 East Jones Street, fence. Number two is the petition of Michael Blakemore, 22-000533-COA, located at 604 Lincoln Street, alterations. Number three is petition of Patrick Johnson, 22-000660-COA, 23 West Broughton Street, alterations. Number four is the petition of GM Shea Architects, 22-000649-COA, located at 600 East Bay Street, signs. Number five is the petition of Greenline Architecture, 22-000652-COA, 301 East Harris Street, porch/fence alterations. And lastly, number six is the petition of Lynch Associate Architects, 22-000654-COA, 400 West Congress Street, amendment to mixed-use building. Is there any member of the public or any board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved, it's Ms. Stevens.
Do we have a second?
Stan Houle, second.
Thank you, Stan. Okay, we have a motion on the floor made by Mr. Stevens and seconded by Mr. Houle. We'll do a voice vote, for this one. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, and the consent agenda has passed. Next, we'll move on to the adoption of the agenda. In the pre-meeting, we noted that there were corrections that needed to be made. Adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved, Altshuler.
Thank you, Michelle Altshuler. Do we have a second?
This is Melissa Memory, I second.
Thank you, Ms. Memory. So we have a motion on the floor made by Mr. Altshuler and seconded by Ms. Memory. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now we'll move to the approval of the minutes. as I was trying to say before, during the pre-meeting, we notated that there were corrections that needed to be made to the approval of the minutes from the last agenda. So we are going to skip that this time and we will review them at the next meeting. Items to be removed from the final agenda, there are none listed. So we will go ahead and move to the continued agenda. These applications have been requested to be continued to the following meeting. Is there a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda? Do I need to read those?
Yes, you do.
I do. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I blanked for a second. Okay. The items that are listed on the continued agenda are the petition of Array Design 21-006818-COA, 18 East Jones Street, new construction accessory building, parts 1 and 2. The petition of Eli Lurie, 21-006813-COA, 113 East Gordon Street, new construction accessory building, parts 1 and 2. Petition of Hallett & Co., 22-000179-COA, 3 West Perry Street, new construction, part 1, height and mass and alterations. The petition of LS3P Associates, 22-000172-COA, 700 Drayton Street / 701 Abercorn Street, new construction, part 2, design details. The petition of LS3P Associates, 22-000171-COA, 3 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, roof addition. The petition of Gonzalez Architects, 22-000178-COA, 215 Whitaker Street, demolition of non-contributing building and new construction, part 1. And the petition of Shed Architecture, 22-000643-COA, 413 East Jones Street, demolition of a non-contributing building and new construction, small parts 1 and 2. So again, do we have a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda?
So move, Stan.
Thank you, Mr. Hoole. Do we have a second?
I second. This is Melissa Memory.
Thank you, Ms. Memory. So we have a motion on the floor to made by Mr. Hoole and seconded by Ms. Memory. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. And with that, the continued agenda has been approved and passed. There are no requests for extensions this month, so we will go ahead and go on to the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to those public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member 2 times for comment. You do not have to provide comments if you do not have any. Again, if you're just joining us for the first time virtually, please locate your control panel. Any public that wishes to submit comment, please use the raise your hand feature. I will then be notified and call on you by name. So with that, I will hand it over to Leah to handle petition of GM Shea Architects, 22-000648-COA, 600 East Bay Street, amendment to hotel.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. This is Leah. The applicant is requesting approval to amend a previously approved certificate of appropriateness for 600 East Bay Street, the AC Hotel. This is the proposed rendering, and then I'm going to show you the one that was approved in December 2018. Oops, excuse me, zoom out a little bit. All of the changes are on this south and west portion of the building. So that's what we'll be focusing on today. This was approved 2018. This is what is proposed today. Per the petitioner seeks to make modifications to improve the appearance of the south side of the previously approved top floor of the AC Hotel. They cited a couple of reasons for these changes that I wanted to go through. The proposed glazed balcony railings are sturdier, providing greater safety, and the rooftop swimming pool, which if you all remember, excuse me, was here, was not approved by the health department. The developer chose to eliminate the highly activated party spaces, which again, you can see here and here. And minor changes in the previously approved brick color and texture due to material availability. I'll show you samples later, but again, it's best seen in the renderings. You can see that the palette here on the proposed is slightly darker than the previously approved palette. And just as a reminder, this property is located outside the National Historic Landmark District, but obviously still within the local boundary. And as you recall, there are very few contributing buildings within this immediate context. I'm not going to go through the entire history of this site. As you know, this has been an ongoing project for the entire site development since 2012. This particular building started in April of 2015 with the demolition of the SEPCO building. There's been a series of approvals and amendments since that time, as recently as September 2021, when you all approved to amend the valley between this building and the existing Homewood to the east, Homewood Suites to the east. And again, another reminder, City Council adopted a series of changes to the Historic District Ordinance and now, of course, the new zoning ordinance. So that was 2018 and then in 2019. And because this project was under review prior to all of those changes, this project continues its review under the old ordinance. So that is why the standards we're looking at today are from Section 8-3030 of the previous ordinance. With regard to visual compatibility and the rhythm of solids to voids in the front facades, at the southwest corner of the building, another floor of openings has been added here. You can see this has been removed and another row of openings. The rhythm matches the openings below and is visually compatible. With regard to the relationship of materials, texture, and color, as I mentioned before, this is the proposed color palette. This is the previous color palette. I am going to show you the actual finished boards though. So this is the proposed actual finish board palette. And the previous one you can see here. Trying to get it all on the screen. There we go. Okay. But again, it's best seen in the rendering. With regard to the roof shape over the southwest area of the building has been revised to a simplified and continuous flat roof with an overhang. Staff finds this shape visually compatible. And lastly, with regard to the entire scale of the building, staff has determined that the scale as amended is visually compatible. Staff recommends approval to amend a previously approved COA for 600 East Bay Street as requested because the proposed changes are visually compatible and meet the standards. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Leah. Does anybody have any questions for staff? Okay, being none, would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
My name is Patrick Shea. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I'm the senior principal of GM Shea Architects. Also on the call this afternoon, Anna Manso, who's the lead architect for this particular project. We're very pleased. We're now just a few days away from starting construction. We do have a building permit, but this is an opportunity, we think, to improve the design, make it something that will be even more visually compatible than what's previously been approved. We think it's looks more complete, frankly, than the design that was previously approved. As far as the colors go, the rendering is pretty accurate, more accurate actually than the rendering that was presented in 2018. So, but the difference between the colors that are submitted today and the colors that are previously approved is very subtle, frankly. The reason that we had to change some of them had to do with just availability. Some of the brick, for example, that we wanted to use is not still available at this time, but very, very close to the same. This rendering is actually much more accurate as to the previously approved and spandrel color and the glass color. And certainly we would make ourselves available to answer any questions that the board might have.
Does anybody have any questions for the applicant?
Is the pool removed altogether, or has it just been relocated somewhere else?
The pool has been eliminated from the program. So the developer has decided that the swimming pools are better reserved for some of the hotels that are down near the riverfront, much closer to the water. That have also previously been approved, but this hotel will not have an outdoor or indoor either hotel. Swimming pool, it'll have a hotel.
Thank you.
This is the roof plan, Melissa, just to show you.
Does anybody else have any questions?
On the screen now that because we increased some of the roof area, we also increased the number of solar panels that are up there in order to continue to qualify for the one-story height bonus that's earned in part by the percentage of roof devoted to solar. I'm real pleased to point out that we're still very much on track to try and get ourselves LEED certified at a platinum level, which would be amazing.
Very nice. Does anybody have any questions, further questions for the applicant before we move on to public comment? Okay. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak on this item? Please use the raise your hand feature.
No hands.
There aren't any? Okay. Well, since there was none, we'll go ahead and move on to board discussion. At this time, no further comment will be accepted. So we will go ahead and start with you, Mr. Altshuler.
I think Mr. Schaefer, the alterations on the design, I think it's a marked improvement. And that's all.
Okay. Mr. Stevens?
No comment.
Okay. Ms. Memory?
No comment.
Mr. Hull?
I agree with staff's recommendations.
And Mr. Dodge?
No comment other than I agree with staff's recommendations.
Okay. Since nobody had any comments really the first time around, we will go ahead and entertain a motion.
This is Mr. Stevens. I move that we approve the petition of Gamayoff Shea and as outlined in the staff review.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Is that you, Mr. Hull?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we have a motion that was made by Mr. Stevens and seconded by Mr. Houle. Is there any discussion on this motion? Okay, and I'll go around and get everybody's vote. Mr. Altshuler.
Aye.
Mr. Stevens.
Aye.
Ms. Memory.
Aye.
Mr. Houle.
Aye.
And Mr. Dodge.
Aye.
Okay, the ayes have it, and the application has been approved.
Thank you, all of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We will go ahead and move on to the next item that is on the agenda, which is the petition of Array Design, Shauna Cusera, 21-006787-COA, 420 East Liberty Street, demolition of a non-contributing building and new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
Julie, can I have access to share my screen, please? This is Aslan. Thank you. Okay, everyone should be seeing it now. So good afternoon, members of the board. This is Aslan Drosky, and I will be presenting the petition for new construction, small parts 1 and 2, and the demolition of a non-contributing structure for the property located at 420 East Liberty Street. The applicant is requesting approval for the construction of a two-story carriage house at the rear of the property. In order to accommodate this, the applicant is also requesting a variance from section 8.7.4.D.I, long, but it's the footprint of the accessory dwelling unit shall be a maximum of 40% of the habitable floor area of the principal dwelling, and this is to allow for the accessory dwelling unit to be 47% of the habitable floor area. And I will cover this a bit more when I get into the variance criteria. So submitted with this packet is also an easement agreement. And I'll show you the site plan in a second, but here's the letter that staff received from the lawyer. Sorry, it's taken a while to load. Essentially, there is a discrepancy in the property line and where the current buildings sit of 1 foot 2 inches. And so the property owners have worked out an agreement between 420 and I believe 422 to have an easement in that location so that the carriage house can be constructed in the same footprint as the existing, the same width, excuse me, as the existing one-story CMU building. With this easement as well, all the standards for the base zoning district are met. So with regards to the demolition, that's moving quite slow, of the one-story CMU garage structure, which you can see here, staff did find that this was constructed likely sometime after 1973. And I'll show you the sandboard maps here. So as you can see, for 1916 and 1955, there is a structure on the property, but it does not resemble what is there now. And then it is completely removed in 1973. So it's likely there was some that this was built on the property post 1973. So staff does find that this is a non-historic building on the property and does recommend approval for the demolition of this structure. So as I mentioned, the carriage house is to be at the rear of the property and is to be 2 stories tall. This will be subordinate to the main building, the height of which you can see etched behind here in purple. Staff does find the overall height and scale of the new construction carriage house to be visually compatible with the height of carriage houses in the district. Staff would also like to note that there are no historic carriage houses on the lane in the direct vicinity of the structure. There are several new construction carriage houses. So with regards to materials, the building is proposed to feature a flat roof with a parapet, which will screen the HVAC equipment. The walls are to be textured stucco in a dark green with smooth stucco bands as a delineation between floors and to provide access at the top. The first floor is to feature a French-style garage door. This is indicated as being painted a dark color. And the second floor is to feature three double-hung aluminum clad wood windows. Staff does request that the applicant provide the stucco material specification and the finish of the garage door, but otherwise finds the rhythm of openings as well as the materials and colors proposed to be visually compatible. With regard to the design standards, staff would just like to ensure that the window sashes and door frame are inset a minimum of 3 inches, as this is required by the design standards and was not indicated on the drawings. Additionally, regarding that French door, the French garage door, the door is currently proposed to be 7 feet wide. And as you can see here, it is going to swing into the lane. So staff is just recommending that the door width be increased to a minimum of 8 feet accommodate a vehicle, and that the door type be revised so as not to encroach on the public right-of-way, and to submit that revised door type to staff for final review and approval. Otherwise, staff does find the remaining design standards for this building to be met. So with regards to section 8.7, which is the standards for accessory structures and uses, staff finds the new carriage house is subordinate to the main building and that the building size and location meets those standards. However, as I mentioned earlier, within this section, there is that standard that sets that maximum of 40% of the principal dwelling unit, which this does not meet. So I'm going to go over the variance criteria quickly. So the variance criteria require that a variance meet the general consistency of the ordinance and master plan, contain special conditions that are specific and do not result from the actions of the applicant, nor are financial in nature, and that the literal interpretation would deny the applicant of a privilege commonly enjoyed throughout the district. So the applicant has indicated that the depth of the building, which created the larger footprint, is the minimum depth required for the bottom floor to maintain a parking space on site. This is something that's required by the ordinance in this area. And staff does find that the existing conditions of the site, such as the size of the lot and main building, create the need for the variance, and therefore the variance criteria are met. So with that, staff is recommending approval for the demolition of a non-contributing one-story garage structure and new construction small parts 1 and 2 for a two-story carriage house for the property located at 420 East Liberty Street, with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval, because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And that is: 1, provide the stucco material specification and the finish of the garage door. 2, revise the garage door opening to be a minimum of 8 feet and to ensure it does not encroach on the public right of way. 3, ensure the frame of the garage door is inset not less than 3 inches from the exterior surface of the facade of the building. And 4, ensure the windows are inset a minimum of 3 inches from the facade, as well as recommending approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the standard that reads the footprint of the accessory dwelling unit shall be a maximum of 40% of the habitable floor area of the principal dwelling, to allow for the accessory dwelling unit to be 47% of the habitable floor area of the principal dwelling, because the variance criteria are met. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Thank you, Aslan. Does anybody have any questions for staff? Okay. Being none, would the petitioner please come forward and state your name?
Good afternoon. This is Shauna Casera. Everybody can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. thank you, Aslan, for taking us through this project. There are two items that are the stipulations that come along with the recommendation of approval that I would like to discuss today. and they're both relating to the garage door. Everything else that you mentioned, I'm happy to provide, the stucco samples, the window offsets, but I would like to request two things with the garage door. Number one, it needs to swing out into the lane. Otherwise, when we pull a car in, we won't be able to close it. So just from a logistical standpoint there, I'd like to have the outswing door remain. And then originally we designed this as a 7-foot wide opening because we eliminated the man door on this facade. It was getting very busy and we wanted to keep an 8-foot header height. And so we decided to go with just a simple carriage door, a true historic outswing double door. And since this is the door that is the only passage from the courtyard to the lane, it'll be used often for taking out the garbage and, you know, that main thoroughfare. And so I'd like to consider a 7-foot wide opening or meet in the middle with a 7.5-foot wide opening just to allow for ease of use of one of those leaves. Thank you.
Does anybody on the board have any questions for the applicant and or staff now at this point?
This is Mr. Stevens. So just as a point of clarification for the petitioner, so right now the garage doors currently are hinged and swing out into the lane, and the intent of shrinking it down is to kind of treat it as a man door, correct?
Correct. It's currently 7 feet wide and outswing into the lane.
Okay. Thank you.
Does anybody else on the board have any further questions for the applicant and or staff?
This is, I guess, for staff. Are there other precedents for encroachment of the garage doors into the public right of way?
Not that I can think of. Leah, do you know?
There's probably still some historic ones that do swing into the lane. And here's the thing, is you all could approve it. The city is not going to approve it. They're not going to allow the doors to swing onto their property. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah, and that was my concern too.
Yeah, they'll consider it a hazard for fire trucks and city vehicles and other such things. So, I mean, even if you all approve it from a visual compatibility standpoint, honestly, it'll end up coming back to you to be changed. And secondly, this is a required parking space, and I can't see how anybody would believe it would be used as an off-street parking space when it's only 7 feet wide. I'm not aware of any car other than maybe like a smart car or something that could fit in there.
Does anybody else have any further questions for the applicant and or staff?
I just want to comment. This is Shauna Casera. Thank you, Leah. You know, you deal with this day in and day out, so that's understood. And we are willing to go with your recommendation of an 8-foot wide opening that is in swing. I just wanted to get some insight and feedback on that, but everything that you explained makes sense. So thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment on this item? If so, please use the raise your hand feature.
No hands.
No hands. Okay, thank you, Julie. We'll now go into board discussion and no further comment will be accepted. I'll go ahead and start with you, Mr. Dodge.
I really have no comment other than, again, agreeing with staff's recommendations.
Okay, Mr. Houle.
I agree with staff's recommendations.
Ms. Memory.
I also agree with staff's recommendation.
Mr. Stevens?
No comment.
Mr. Altshuler?
No comment.
Okay. Well, since everybody didn't really have much to say, we will go ahead and entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, this is Stan Houle. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 21006787 COA at 420 East Liberty Street, provided the conditions outlined in the staff recommendation are met, and further to recommend approval to the Board of Zoning Appeals for a variance from the standards set in Section 8-7-4DI because the variance criteria are met.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Do we have a second?
Mr. Stevens, I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor made by Mr. Houle to approve with conditions and also approve the variance, which was seconded by Mr. Stevens. Is there any discussion on the motion? Okay, being none, I will now go around to everybody to vote. Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
Mr. Houle?
Aye.
Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Mr. Stevens?
Aye.
And Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the ayes have it, and the petition has been approved with conditions. And the variance has also been approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we will move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the petition of Lestali. Hopefully I'm saying that right. 22-000170-COA. Located at 720 Habersham Street, new construction, accessory building, parts 1 and 2.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is Olivia Arfuso. I'll be presenting the petition for a new construction, accessory building, parts 1 and 2 at 720 Habersham Street. Located on this parcel is the original Leopold's Ice Cream location. For the petitioner, the accessory structure will host ice cream events such as birthday parties that will be open to the courtyard and help activate this quiet corner. The accessory building will be located on the north side of the parcel and will be situated along Hall Lane with the west facade running adjacent to Habersham Street. The building is proposed to be 1,423 square feet and will increase the lot coverage by approximately 15.2%. A new masonry and wrought iron fence with a compatible iron pedestrian gate is proposed to be installed along Habersham Street, as well as the northeast facing corner of the property. Just to provide the board with some context, 720 Habersham Street, the original Leopold's Ice Cream location, is currently listed as a non-contributing building. Although constructed in 1888, the building was officially delisted in 2011. The historic principal building was integrated with its carriage house at a later date. The two buildings have likely been merged for a long enough period of time that now the entire combined structure is considered the permitted principal use for the property. Although this application is for the proposed accessory building, it is clear to staff that the principal building is proposed to undergo a restoration. A terrace is also proposed to be located atop the existing one-story connector. This leisure space will therefore be situated between the second story of the principal building and the second story of the carriage house. So staff is asking that any work to the principal building that will be visible from the public right-of-way be appropriately applied for and reviewed. On February 15th, staff received a zoning confirmation letter from the City of Savannah verifying that only three off-street parking spots are required per the ordinance. Regarding the visual compatibility criteria, staff determined the following items are not visually compatible with the contributing resources in the neighborhood. The one-story building height, the proportion of the width of the accessory building to the height of its front facade, the proportion of openings and the rhythm of solids to voids on the facades visible from the public right-of-way, the highly visible centrally located courtyard or play area, the absence of a defined obvious entrance, the aluminum pergola that is proposed to extend from the south-facing facade, the two tiers of flat roofs, the proposed fences, and the overall horizontal expression of the building, as well as the scale of the fenestrations. Additionally, a sign appears to be located along the masonry fence on the Habersham Street frontage. Any signs must be appropriately applied for and reviewed. Regarding the design standards, staff has determined that the proposed building form is not similar to any of the surrounding contributing buildings. Therefore, staff is asking that the petitioner revise the building form to be compatible with the adjacent contributing resources. The entrances are proposed to be glass sectional doors with aluminum frames. An additional steel door is proposed along the east-facing facade of the accessory building. Staff has determined that the proposed glass sectional doors with aluminum frames function more as operable curtain walls or garage doors rather than entrances or doors. Therefore, staff is recommending that the front facade of the accessory building have an appropriate door with a door frame that is inset not less than 3 inches from the exterior facade or apply for a special exception from the appropriate standard. Aluminum storefront windows are proposed to be installed to match the existing storefront on the principal building. The storefront windows are not proposed to extend from a sill or from an 18 to 24 inch base of contrasting material. And the storefront type and glazing transparency was not clear to staff. Staff is asking that the storefront windows extend from a sill or from an 18 to 24 inch base of contrasting design or material, and that the storefront type and glazing transparency be provided to staff. An aluminum pergola is proposed to extend from the south facade of the accessory building and will be highly visible from the public right of way. Staff determined that this prefabricated shade structure, although custom designed for the accessory building, is inappropriate and incompatible with the surrounding contributing resources. The majority of the accessory building is proposed to have a flat roof shape. A section of the building that extends from the east-facing facade is proposed to have a brick parapet that is 3 feet 6 inches in height. The roof is proposed to be finished in a PVC roofing membrane. Per the standards, the roof membrane shall be TPO, not PVC. Regarding the accessory structure standards, the accessory building is proposed to have greater than a 5-foot setback. The accessory building, therefore, the rear yard setback must be reduced to 5 feet per those standards. The electric meter is proposed to be located along the east-facing facade of the accessory building. The condensing unit for the accessory building will be located atop the roof, and an MEP will be located in the courtyard and screened from the public right-of-way. The refuse storage area is proposed to be shared with Mate Factor, located at 401 East Hall Street. Per the applicant, a refuse area will also be located within the accessory building. However, that was not noted on the drawings. So staff is asking that the petitioner clarify the location of the refuse storage areas and provide information regarding adequate screening methods. Regarding parking, Two parking areas are proposed. One will be located along the rear of the property, parallel to East Hall Lane, and one will be located along the east side of the property. A total of four parking spots are proposed to be provided. However, two of those spots will be tandem. So to summarize, staff recommends that the board continue the petition for a new construction accessory building parts 1 and 2 at 720 Habersham Street to the April 13th HDBR regular meeting in order for the petitioner to address the following. 1. Revise the design of the accessory building to meet the visual compatibility criteria and revise the building form to be compatible with the adjacent contributing resources. The rear yard setback must be reduced to 5 feet. 2. The front facade of the accessory building shall have an appropriate door with a door frame that is inset not less than 3 inches from the exterior surface of the facade, or a special exception shall be requested from the appropriate standard. 3. The storefront window shall extend from the sill or from an 18 to 24 inch base of contrasting design or material to the lintel, and the storefront type and glazing transparency shall be provided to staff. 4. All areas of flat roof must be hidden by a parapet, and the roof membrane shall be TPO, not PVC. 5. Clarify the location of the refuse storage areas and provide information regarding adequate screening methods. 6. All lighting must be compatible with the scale of the subject property and with the character of the district. All fixtures shall be metal and/or glass and shall have a white light source only. 7. Any signs must be appropriately applied for and reviewed. 8. Any work to the principal building and carriage house that will be visible from the public right-of-way must be appropriately applied for and reviewed. Staff did receive a response from the petitioner, but I'll let him present that during petitioner's presentation. Thank you, and I now open for any questions from the board.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for staff?
It's Kevin Dodge. I may have missed this, but is there a requirement that the roof membrane be TPO rather than PVC?
I'll go ahead and pull that section up in the report. So it looks like, as far as materials, it does say that roof covering shall be standing seam metal, V crimp, slate or equivalent synthetic tile, or architectural asphalt or similar shingles. So it does not specify that it cannot be TPO specifically.
No, I'm sorry. My question was, is there a requirement that it be TPO rather than PVC?
That's what she was just saying, is that it does not. So here's what an error. These are the materials. It can be, but when it's not visible, it's moot. So in theory, a flat roof is not visible.
Right, so the PVC then would be acceptable?
Well, if it's not visible, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Does anybody else have any further questions for staff? Okay. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name?
My name is Talanoa Lesetele. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Before I start, I'd like to request a couple of things. First, I would like to be able to share my screen. And then second, I would like to request additional time, because I have quite a lot of items to respond to.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Do you want to give them a time frame, Ellie?
I would need another maybe 12 minutes, so it would be 22 minutes for the presentation.
I mean, as long as you're keeping it to addressing the items that staff addressed in the report, then that's fine.
Yes, that's exactly what I'll be doing.
But I am going to time you. So you're aware.
Yeah. Have you seen, I'm trying to share my screen.
Yes, we can see your screen.
Oh, which one are you seeing?
The one with the photo.
With the 720 Hyperson Street
accessory
structure?
No.
Oh, 1 second. I'm sorry.
You're fine. Takes a minute. Yep, now we can see.
You see the full screen?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, again, good afternoon, Madam Chairman, members of the board, staff. My name is Talanoa Lisitelli. I'm the architect of record for the 720 Hyperson Street accessory structure. First, we would like to extend our appreciation to Leo and her staff for their effort in preparing their long recommendation report on our small accessory structure. However, we respectfully disagree with the majority of the staff's assessments, and this will be the focus of our presentation today. As a footnote, the design proposal for the project has met all the applicable zoning guidelines, and we're not asking for any exceptions or any variances. This has been approved and formalized as per the zoning confirmation letter issued by the zoning department on February 15th. The first item to discuss is, I'm going to quote the staff report. Staff has determined that the proportion of the width of the accessory structure to the height of its front facade is not visually compatible to the contributing buildings to which the new construction is visually related, end quote. In other words, the staff has objected to the accessory structure being one story instead of two stories. We respectfully disagree, and here's why. As per the ordinance, an accessory structure is permitted to be a one-story building if it fronts a lane. A one-story accessory structure fronts Hall Lane, and therefore this one-story standard is met. Moreover, this is a 3D diagram of the city block on which the proposed accessory structure is located. As you all can see, highlighted in purple, the closest and most visually related buildings to the accessory structure are the Mate cafes, one-story buildings, and stucco fence. Aside from our property's existing principal building, Mate cafes buildings and solid fence are the only structures that share the Hyperson Street frontage with our accessory structure. However, the staff has overlooked this obvious one-story relationship and based their determination on a two-story neighboring contributing buildings behind. Again, as you can see in this diagram, these two-story buildings are secondary, setback, and in the background. Also, architecturally, making the proposed accessory structure a two-story building would overshadow and visually dwarf the Mate Cafe's one-story buildings and solid fence. The second item is, quote, the staff has determined that the proportion of the openings and rhythm of solids to voids on the facades visible from the public right-of-way are not visually compatible with contributing buildings to which the accessory building will be visually related, end of quote. We respectfully disagree, and here's why. This diagrammatic elevation of Hyperson Street shows the proportional relationship between the accessory structure, the Mate Cafe, and the existing principal building facades. A footnote for non-architects, to help understand these diagrams, the proportion of a rectangle is defined as the ratio between its length and width. You can tell whether two or more rectangles have the same proportion if their diagonals have the same slope, as I've indicated here in the rectangles that are labeled with the same letters on this elevation. Looking at this elevation, you can see that the accessory structure facade rectangle labeled A and the overall rectangle of the Mate Cafe's main building facade have the same proportion. The rectangle labeled B has the same proportion as the flat facade of the property's principal building. This rectangle B determines the location of the accessory structure facade opening, as indicated with the letter C. The proportion of this opening, labeled C on the diagram, matches the opening on the Mate Cafe's Harrison Street facade, as I've indicated. The third item to discuss is, quote, staff has determined that the highly visible centrally located courtyard slash play area is not compatible with the contributing buildings to which the accessory building will be visible, end quote. We respectfully disagree, and here's why. Although the proposed fence is screened, it will still act as a plane matching the plane of Mate Cafe's solid fence. An observer would perceive the void to begin from the top of the screen fence rather than including the fence as shown in this diagram. Additionally, the screen fence is appropriate for this commercial and community gathering place because it would not only enclose the courtyard, but it would also activate this quiet side of the city block, and it will promote interaction between events happening internally and externally with passing pedestrians and drivers. The fourth item to discuss is, quote, staff has determined that the absence of a defined obvious entrance is not visually compatible to the contributing buildings to which the accessory structure building will be visually related, end quote. We respectfully disagree, and here's why. Mate Cafe's buildings are principal buildings with their main entry door located on Hall Street and not on Harrison Street. So it would be difficult and impractical to try to match this. Additionally, as an accessory structure, the entry will be accessed internally from the courtyard through the sectional storefront doors, which will open on a regular basis, except when the weather is undesirable. For your information and record, the sectional doors we are specifying are not typically intended for garages, but for commercial applications such as restaurants and retail. So they are appropriate for our eating establishment space. As you can see in this elevation, structural columns subdivide the elevation vertically, and the doors are further subdivided by the muttons, both vertically and horizontally. There is precedent of the use of sectional doors in the Landmark District, as at the Zunzi's, as a contributing Zunzi's restaurant building on Drayton Street. The fifth item I would like to discuss is, quote, staff has determined that the aluminum pergola that is proposed to extend from the south facade of the accessory building will be highly visible from the public right away. Staff finds this projection to be highly compatible with the features of the neighboring historic buildings, end quote. We respectfully disagree, and here's why. This pergola is located on the south facade. It is functional and acts as a porch and shading device to protect against the hot southwest sun, especially in the afternoons. This is a photo of Hall Street showing the canopies on Mate Cafe and stoops and porches on adjacent buildings to the east. And as you can see, they are not all the same styles or materials. Similarly, I would like to show a collage of these photos to demonstrate and remind everyone that there are many variations of porches, canopies, marquees, pergolas, balconies, et cetera, throughout the Landmark District. Many of these variations coexist on the same streets and even on the same buildings. Our proposed metal pergola aspires to add to the vast collection of metal work that adorn the facades and buildings throughout the Landmark District. The sixth item I would like to discuss is, quote, staff has determined that the two tiers of flat roofs are not compatible with the contributing buildings to which the accessory building will be directly visually related, end quote. Again, we respectfully disagree, and here's why. First, the ordinance permits the use of flat roofs for accessory structures. In regards to the stepping roof, this 3D diagram is highlighted in purple, shows that the Mate Cafe and abutting buildings and fence have multiple stepping roofs and masses that are similar to our stepping roof proposal. Therefore, the proposed step roof of the accessory structure is appropriate and compatible. The seventh item I would like to discuss is, quote, staff has determined that the proposed iron fences are not visually compatible with the stucco masonry fences to which the accessory building will be visually related, end quote. We respectfully disagree, and here's why. Looking at this diagram, the solid fence of the Mate Cafe property discontinues at Hall Lane and does not continue to the proposed accessory structure and new screen fence, so it is not necessary for the proposed screen fence to be solid as well. Many such variations exist throughout the Landmark District, as shown in these two prominent properties on Bull Street and Gaston Street. The eighth item I would like to discuss is, quote, the accessory building is proposed to have a strong horizontal expression that is clearly contradictory to the contributing buildings in the neighborhood that have a strong vertical presence. We respectfully disagree, and here's why. Again, we would like to show this diagram shown earlier that demonstrates that a horizontal oriented building is more appropriate and sympathetic with Mate Cafe, the most directly and visually related buildings to our proposed accessory structure. As you can see, a horizontal building is more compatible than a vertical oriented building. The ninth item we would like to discuss is, quote, the scale of fenestrations and inclusion of an extensive number of voids is incompatible with the adjacent contributing buildings, end quote. We respectfully disagree, and here's why. The south half of this city block consists of a large encompassing void that extends the entire length of Hall Lane. This is because the properties on Quinette Street, east of the 720 Harrison Street, have open parking behind rather than accessory structures. This is illustrated in this figure ground diagram. Having a building that is more open, like a pavilion or gazebo, is more compatible with this large open space. Architecturally, having a solid and closed building contradicts and diminishes this open feel. Notice also that the solid facades of the proposed accessory structure are reserved for the west and east facade. In order to conform to the more solid treatment of the Mate Cafe's buildings and fence across Hall Lane. This 3D diagram further clarifies this, as highlighted in green. The 10th item we would like to discuss is, quote, the accessory building is proposed to serve a commercial purpose. However, the exterior expression of the height of the ground floor is only proposed to be 12 foot 6. The first story is proposed to be designed as a storefront. However, since the building is only proposed to be one story in height, the facade is not subdivided horizontally. We respectfully disagree, and here's why. You should have my email correspondence with staff clarifying to them that our proposal for submitted drawings meet both of these standards. This elevation shows the exterior expression of the building will be 14 foot 10, which is in compliance with the 14 foot 6 minimum requirement for ground floors of commercial buildings. Also shown here is the horizontal division of the facade with a base, a middle, and a top. Although this is a one-story building, the standard does not require a commercial building to be more than one story. So we are adhering and meeting the standard of horizontally subdivided facade as prescribed in this highlighted sentence. Subdivide the facade horizontally into base, middle, and top. The 11th item I would like to discuss is, quote, staff has determined that the proposed building form is not similar to any of the surrounding contributing buildings, end quote. We respectfully disagree, and here's why. 720 Harrison Street property is located well outside of the Oglethorpe plan that ends at Gaston Street. However, staff has quoted this part of the section 7.8.10 that pertains to the Oglethorpe plan with stipulations on features that only exist there. I've highlighted these features in yellow, including east-west connecting streets, east-west through street, tithing lots, trust lots, etc., all of which are typical features of the Savannah ward. For your information, this is a 3D diagram of the Savannah ward, and it features extracted from the ordinance. Also note that this has been included in the project description on sheet A-001 for our submission to staff. The 12th item I would like to discuss is, quote, staff has determined that the proposed glass sectional doors with aluminum frames function more as operable curtain walls / garage doors than entrance doors, end quote. We respectfully disagree, and here's why. First, the sectional doors are storefronts and not curtain walls. As a footnote, curtain walls are different from storefronts in that they are reserved for large spans, primarily for high rises, because they can withstand the forces of high wind pressures on higher elevations. As I explained earlier and shown in this photo, the sectional doors we are specifying are typically for commercial uses such as restaurants and retail, and they are fitting for our eating establishment use. Also note that these are carefully crafted so that they have the appearance of subdivided storefronts instead of typical sectional doors. Also, standard does not specify the types of doors that are to be used or not used, but only prescribes permitted and prohibited materials. The last item I would like to discuss today is in regards to the rear setback. The staff has objected to the proposed 11-foot rear setback that allows the provision of two parallel parking spaces against Hall Lane. Again, we respectfully disagree, and here's why. Shown here is the standard quoted by staff. New accessory dwellings and garages may have up to 5-foot lane setback to allow a turning radius, end quote. The standard specifies dwellings and garages. Our proposed accessory structure is a commercial use and not dwellings or garage, and therefore it is non-applicable. Sorry. Additionally, the proposed open parallel parking spaces match the opening parking of the abutting properties to the east, as I've highlighted in blue on this diagram. Here's a close-up site plan for clarity. That concludes our rebuttal to the points raised by the staff's recommendations. We will ensure to comply with other requests and instructions by staff that we did not discuss today in this presentation. Madam Chair, members of the board, I would like to acknowledge that our project proposal is contemporary, but as I have demonstrated above, we have looked at the standard very carefully and made sure that we are in compliance with every design choice that we have made. To this end, I would like to reference the first two sentences of section 7.8.10. This is the section that focuses on appropriateness and visual compatibility. I would like to only read the second sentence, which I believe is the mission statement of the standards. Quote, they are not intended to promote copies of the architectural designs of the past, but to encourage contemporary designs that protect and complement existing contributing resources, end quote. I also acknowledge there have been a few contemporary projects that have gone up in the landmark district in recent years. Many of them are not as sympathetic as our accessory structure proposal. For example, here's the visitor center on Ellis Square, which has a similar scale to our accessory structure. And as you can see, it's mostly glass with shiny metal cladding, a lot of bling. Our proposed project is more sympathetic with the contributing resources because of its simpler form and design, as well as the use of appropriate materials, including the proposed powder-coated aluminum swing course and coping to match the color of bronze stone. In conclusion, the proposed accessory structure meets the standard and is compatible with the existing contributing resources. We appreciate the time and attention that the staff took in reviewing our proposal, but as I hope I've clarified to you all during this presentation, some of their recommendations are not applicable or appropriate to our proposal. The Leopolds and I fully believe that the proposed accessory structure, in addition to meeting the standards and guidelines we've looked at today, will be very attractive, appropriate, and will add value to the 720 Happersham Street neighborhood, as well as to the overall landmark district. Many thanks and God bless you all.
Thank you, sir. Does anybody have any questions for the applicant and or staff? Okay. Being none, is there a member of the public that would like to comment? If so, please use the raise your hand feature and I will call on you.
Ryan Irvey.
Ryan.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. This is Ryan Irvey, Historic Savannah Foundation. Our architectural review committee looked closely at this proposal, and in short, we agree with staff's recommendations. We do support a continuance for this project so that the applicant has a more opportunity to address some of the real concerns that are in the staff report. Our primary concern was really with the building's orientation, turning inward rather than fronting Habersham. As new construction urban design really dictates that the building should activate the street and reference the street, relate to the street frontage. This facade on Habersham is really a lot of dead space, and there's no primary entrance really on either Habersham or even on the lane, which we think is a mistake. And the building really should, be changed in its orientation and configuration. Not going to comment so much on the style of architecture. We believe there is a place for modern expression. It does not relate well to its context. The applicant seemed to make lots of references to one singular building, Mate Factor, which is more of an outlier if you look at the entire block. Many of the arguments made seem to kind of turned a blind eye to 90% of the building types on the block in reference to just that one outlier. So we think there's much here to be unpacked and think that staff and the applicant can work together to come to a reasonable resolution. But there's just too much we feel to make for you to make a decision today and hope that you will continue it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Irvey. Is there any other public comments, Leah?
We have a comment from Nehemiah Jane.
Okay, Nehemiah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I represent what has been referenced as the Mate Cafe with the Mate Factor. And we just wanted to express our support for developing the property at large. And our requests would be that hopefully there could be some simple definition to whatever revisions would be required so that it would enable them to make it through the process and develop a vacant property that's been vacant for, I think, at least 20 years, maybe. So we're very supportive of the project and then building an accessory building. Hopefully it can be worked through fairly simply.
Okay, and that's thank all. You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further public comments?
Stratton Leopold is in the audience here in person. He's the owner.
Okay, does he wish to speak?
Yes, he's coming up right now.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Leopold.
Hi, Stratton Leopold. A couple of things. Number one, the accessory building is not designed to be accessed from the street because it is literally a place that someone will have to be in the main building and go to it. But another point, and really it's a point of clarification with HSF, if I could. If the board decides to continue this, does that mean that I can start construction on the main building and carriage house as we've submitted? That's a question for HSF, I guess, or the board. I'm not sure for who. So you have to. I'm
that would sorry? Be for the board.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it just hasn't been submitted.
I'm sorry?
It hasn't been submitted.
It has not been submitted.
It
has
not.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the point, I just got clarification.
Yes.
He gave
all the
details. Yes.
No, ma'am. No, all of the details of the interior were shared with you in the... Yes, we can deal with that later, but okay. We did not receive it. Yeah.
Hey, Leah, can you clarify what's being said for us? Because you sound very far away.
Sorry. Yeah. So there's some confusion as to whether the main buildings were submitted with a packet, but they were not.
Okay. So he could not go ahead and start because obviously that has to go through the COA process as well.
For clarification, this is Mary Leopold. In the pre-meeting portions when Telenoa was working with historic review, he submitted everything we had. So you, as a matter of fact, I think there was some comment that it was an extremely lovely building and an extremely lovely design. So all of that information was submitted and it was not easy to get feedback early on. But just for clarification, all our interior designs, all the exterior designs of the main building were provided to historic review. Thank you.
See the application? Because it was not in there. I'm sorry. Did you see the application package? Because it was not in there. Then you should have said something to him because he submitted, he wanted to be new part of the building. For you to be helpful to the community. No personal interest intended.
Hey, Leah, can you provide some clarification for us, please?
Can the architect please clarify whether his application package had the main building in it? Because we've been speaking with him for months.
Yeah, I want to add, can you hear me?
Yes sir.
We can hear you.
If you remember, Leah, we had a couple of pre-review meetings, and basically during our meeting, you said because we're not modifying anything on the that would be visible from the public right away on the existing building, you just recommended that I submit for the accessory structure only, and we're not making a whole lot of, and that's why we did not submit the.
Okay, so it was not submitted. Yes, thank you.
And thank you. because you said that we didn't need to because we're yes. not making any revisions to the existing.
You so are we, correct.
We yep. and to add to that, I met with the site plan review and also building plan review, And so far, and they've agreed with everything that we've shown. So we're in the process of submitting the drawings to whenever we finish, maybe within a month or so, we'll be submitting the drawings to the building plan review and site plan review. I mean, not the pre-review.
The building is concerned, we do not have a packet for it because it's interior work only, so it was not submitted to us.
Yes, you recommended that we don't do that, so.
Right, thank you. We don't review interior, so yes, thank you.
There will be some things externally, but you won't be able to see them from public right away, so.
Okay, are there any other public comments before we move forward to board discussion? Okay. At this time, we're going to enter into board discussion, so no further comments will be accepted. I'm going to go ahead and start with you, Mr. Altshuler.
Obviously, there are an enormous number of contested judgments that are being made today. And because of that, I'm trying to unpackage all of this, I think a continuance would be appropriate. This is a lot to digest, and there are a number of issues that are at hand. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Stevens?
All right, let me see how I can make sure I hit all of the points that I wanted to make. First off, I would like to, again, applaud the applicant for developing the site. This is a site that we've heard news of something development coming quite a few times over the years, and it's exciting to see that there are some motion to actually get this going. Additionally, if anyone has ever heard me speak on this body, you know that I'm one that is not afraid of injecting a level of contemporary design into the historic fabric, as I feel like it is necessary to demarcate our time in through architecture. However, with the contemporary design, it presents much more of a challenge to achieve it successfully by making sure that we are indeed extremely sensitive to the context in which we are going to inject said contemporary design. I understand and I'm sympathetic to some of the moves and architectural decisions made by the architect. However, as Mr. Arve brought up, the vast majority of that context has a completely different style and has different rhythms of openings and such and fenestration that I think would present itself as a real guide or information point of information to design the accessory structure. I know that there was mention of the blank wall at the Monte Factor, but yet again, that is a wall serving as a fence opposed to an actual structure that is going to be occupied and utilized. There are a number of things. I do recognize the stepping down of the height and proceeding with one story, and I personally don't take exception to that. However, I think that there is definitely an opportunity to really explore more options, taking more of the context into play to inform the design of this accessory building. And one other piece is, I know often we get petitioners that will present various pieces of architecture as precedents. In this instance, it was referred to the building in Nellis Square. And in this context, I absolutely don't think that's an appropriate reference given the surrounding context of the building in Nellis Square versus the building, the accessory building that we're talking about now. In Nellis Square, it is almost purely commercial around that space, with the exception of the residential that is above active ground uses. And in this context, I would almost venture to say that context is 80-20 residential. So, you know, when picking precedents, I would encourage to consider those things and proceed accordingly. I think that's all of my thoughts for the moment. There's quite a few items on the conditions that the staff put together, as well as rebuttals that the petitioner presented. And I think that it might be more advantageous to go and iron out some of these details with staff again. I understand time is of the essence. However, we don't have the luxury or the liberty to get these types of things wrong, because as you refer to precedent, somebody will refer to your building as precedent. And at that time, we're in quite the conundrum as a body.
Thank you, Dwayne. Ms. Memory?
I feel like that the applicant made a lot of compelling points. I also think, as I think Mr. Stevens said, that having more buildings representative of our time it would be a good thing for the neighborhood, as well as reactivating the space, which has been vacant for so long. I also appreciate the opportunity to really engage with the green space in between, and don't know if reorienting all of that glass and stuff to the street side would be as successful as what they're trying to do with this space. I do feel like that the street facing could have would be more visually compatible if it did have more of a something street facing, but then also recognizing it, as the petitioner said, also this is an accessory building that will only be engaged through accessing the primary structure. So I feel like it should be continued as well, but I would hate to see some of the considerations that the petitioner and the designer had completely disappear.
Okay, thank you, Melissa. Mr. Houle.
I'm going to be a little bit of a contrarian in that it does seem that there is a position between the what I would call the glass and brass of the proposal and the existing structure in the front. I applaud the owner and the architect for working to come up with an idea of how to reinvigorate the property, because if you're driving on Habersham, you kind of look at that going, wow, they should do something there. But I looking at the staff's recommendations about some of the revisions to it and making it again a little bit more street friendly there on Habersham. My other comment about the main building is that I find it a bit hard to believe that after a building has been vacant, I think people said for over 20 years, that the owner is not planning on doing anything to the exterior that would require review by the board. I think might need to take another look at that to see what's being planned, because again, after 20 years, something's got to be done to the exterior. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Houle. Mr. Dodge.
I don't really have anything new that other board members haven't touched on, but I would, as others have mentioned, like to commend the owner and architect for developing this property. It's something that's sorely been needed, obviously. And I agree with some of the other board members when they talk about the facade on Habersham Street, that perhaps something could be done with that. I don't know what it would be right offhand, but to make it a little more, I don't know what the word is, really user friendly, but I do like the idea of the courtyard. As Mr. Altshuler mentioned in the very beginning, there's a lot of issues here that need to be dealt with. So perhaps, so in that case, I do recommend, as staff did, a continuance for this project. That's all I have right now.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dodge. I'm going to go around one more time just because everybody had comments to say. So, Mr. Altshuler, do you have anything further?
I do have one other thing. Actually, I wish that was there was a nod that related to the neighborhood that surrounds the building as opposed to the building, the singular building or Mate Factor itself. I wish there was some kind of orientation to the neighborhood more so. And that's all.
Okay, Mr. Stevens.
Similar to some of the comments made about orientation to Habersham Street, you know, architecturally, I understand the the desire to activate the space in between the two structures, the main build, the principal building, and the accessory structure. But to appear as a street activation at the very least, again, I would urge the petition to consider the fenestration on the, I believe, what's that, the west side of the building, to say that the west facade that's facing Habersham, to potentially try to pick up some of the rhythm so that it can be more of a human scale / human experience as you go past that, instead of a blank wall with one quick punch. But you know, outside of that, I really would urge the petitioner to, you know, if it is indeed continue work with staff, explore the context. Yeah, I mean, I think you did a great job using the diagrams to identify the scale components of it, but the architectural features could utilize that same method of explanation. And at that time, I think it can definitely be a successful project, because I don't think it's terribly far off. I think it just needs to be massaged some.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Ms. Memory?
No further comment.
Mr. Hull?
Nothing further.
Mr. Dodge?
Nothing further.
Okay. I'd like to give in my own two cents here. I echo a lot of things that Mr. Stevens said, as far as, like, I greatly appreciate the fact that this is a truly modern design, but I do think that it does need to be massaged in the way that it activates the street as well as the courtyard, and as well as the lane even, because it is on a corner, you know. So I have a question for the petitioner, the architect, because it seems that we're going in this route. If the petition is continued today, would you guys be willing to alter your design and to work with staff in order to achieve that?
I think I would love to be able to you know, negotiate and sit down with the staff, but I try to do that you know, in the pre-review meetings, but you know, that was not you know, particularly forthcoming. So yeah, I guess we, if you know, the staff and and the team can work together with us. You know, we can massage this. We like to keep as much as what we propose. As we still disagree with some of the comments that were made, but yeah, whatever we need to do to make it work, because we are, you know, we also don't want to go around in circles. We want to move the project forward. So I'm not sure how that process would work. I don't know if maybe I should contact Leah and Olivia and their team and get together on Zoom or maybe in person. I live in Cambridge, but I don't mind coming to Savannah and, you know, sit together in a room and do like a little charrette if they're open to that.
Okay. The only reason why I ask is just because you had obviously taken a lot of time to put together your presentation to combat all of staff's recommendations. So I just wanted to make sure that, like, moving forward, there would be an open dialogue and trying to work and possibly alter some things. And obviously it's going to have to be a give and take on both sides, but just to make sure that if we do continue it, that it's not one of those things where, you know, next meeting we're going to get the same project back to us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're willing to work with Leah and Olivia and the team. Just have to. I don't know. You know, I haven't. You know, worked with. The staff.
I guess the reason why I'm asking this question is because I want to make sure that we as a board do provide the best answer that we can, right? Like, I don't want to sit here and continue the project for you and then have nothing, you're not willing to really change anything of your design. And it would make more sense at that point then to give you either an approval with conditions or just a straight denial at that point. So I just want to make sure that there's, you know, we're taking the best course for everybody.
Yeah, thanks for that. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. So I guess at this point we will now entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, this is Mr. Houle.
Yes, Mr.
I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review continue the petition 22-000170 COA at 720 Habersham Street with the conditions outlined or stated in the staff recommendation, except on item number 4, remove the second phrase, which says, and the roof membrane shall be TPO, not PVC.
Okay. Do we have a second on that motion?
Second, Altshuler.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this motion? No? Okay. Mr. Altshuler, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Stevens?
Aye.
Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Mr. Houle?
Aye.
And Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
Okay, with that being said, the petition has been continued to the next meeting on April 13th and removing the second part of the condition from item number 4. Okay, moving forward to the last item on the regular agenda. We have the petition of Ogletree Design Incorporated, 22-000650-COA, 221 East Broad Street, new construction, part 1, height and mass.
Thank you. This is Olivia Arfuso again. I'll be presenting the petition for new construction, part one, height and mass of two townhouses that will be located at 221 East Broad Street.
One second. Mr. Ogletree, can you pause? Can you mute your audio, please? We're getting feedback from you. Thank you, sir. Go ahead, Olivia.
The two attached townhouses are proposed to be located at the corner of East Broad Street and East McDonough Street. The front facades are proposed to face East McDonough Street. The townhouses will be two stories in height with a raised basement. Regarding the base zoning standards, it is unclear to staff whether the existing lot is proposed to be subdivided. Staff is asking that the petitioner provide information to staff regarding any future plans to subdivide the existing lots. Regarding the visual compatibility criteria, staff finds it inappropriate to have four doors adjacent to one another at the garden level. Staff is recommending that the petitioner revise the garden level openings on the north-facing facade to be compatible with contributing resources in the area. On the north-facing facade, an uncovered full-width deck is proposed to be installed at the parlor level. The uncovered deck will provide the roof or cover for the garden level below. It appears that one side of the deck will be supported by a brick wall while the other side is supported by a post. A brick half wall is proposed to be constructed in the center of the deck to provide privacy for each townhouse. Staff has determined that the proposed brick privacy wall or divider is not compatible. However, we would like to note that the same developer built the townhouses on the adjacent truss lot and proposed a similar divider, which can be seen here. Although staff also found the feature incompatible, the divider was ultimately approved by the board. We are still asking that the petitioner provide additional clarification regarding the rear porch's support system and to revise the proposed brick divider. A brick wall is proposed along the side yard. However, no information was provided regarding the height. Information needs to be provided regarding the brick wall's height and clarify where it is proposed to be located. Regarding the design standards, the new construction townhouses will be two stories in height with a raised basement. The garden level is proposed to be 8 feet 1 inches tall. The parlor level is proposed to be 10 feet 1 inch tall, and the second story is proposed to be 9 feet 1 inch in height. The dimensions provided to staff were the interior floor-to-floor heights, not the exterior expression. Staff determined that the overall height of the proposed new construction will be compatible to the adjacent historic townhouses located at 548 and 550 East McDonough Street. Therefore, the intent of the standard is met. The door frames at the garden level shall be inset not less than 3 inches from the exterior surface facade of the building. This standard does not apply to the upper floors because the facade is finished with wood siding. The townhouses are proposed to have windows that have a vertical to horizontal ratio of not less than 5:3, and the center line of the window and door openings will align vertically on the primary facade. However, framing members shall be covered with appropriate trim. Trim shall feature a header, surrounds, and a pronounced sill where appropriate. The townhouses are proposed to have two entrance porticos on the front facade that will be accessed by wooden straight-run staircases. The porticos will each have 8-inch round Tuscan columns that have a cap and base molding and will be supported by two brick piers at the garden level. The balusters will be placed between upper and lower rails and will be 3 feet in height. Stoop heights shall be visually comparable to other historic stoops to which they are visually related and shall not exceed 9 feet 6 inches. The townhouses are proposed to have a side gable roof shape, and the front entrance porticos will have a half hip roof shape. The gable will have a pitch of 4:2. However, no information was provided to staff regarding the eave or rake dimensions. Eave shall extend no less than 12 inches beyond supporting walls, and gable and rakes shall overhang at least 8 inches. The townhouses are proposed to have HVAC units located on the rear facade under the proposed decks. Staff also believes that the electrical vaults will be located under the decks. However, it is not clearly noted on the drawings. The refuse will be located between the two off-street parking areas. It appears that they will be screened using a brick lattice enclosure. However, no information was provided regarding this feature. So staff is asking for the applicant to ensure that all HVAC units, electrical vaults, meter boxes, and refuse areas are appropriately screened from all public rights of way. Therefore, staff recommends that the board approve the new construction part one height and mass of two townhouses that will be located at 221 East Broad Street, with the following conditions to be submitted and clarified to the board with new construction part two design details, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. One, provide information to staff regarding any future plans to subdivide the existing lot. Two, revise the garden level openings on the north facing facade to be compatible with the contributing resources in the area. Three, provide clarification regarding the rear porch's support system and revise the proposed brick divider. Provide information regarding the brick wall and brick lattice enclosure, including the feature's height, and clarify where the brick wall is proposed to be located. Four, the door frames at the garden level shall be inset not less than 3 inches from the exterior surface facade of the building. All framing members shall be covered with appropriate trim. Trim shall feature a header, surrounds, and pronounced sill where appropriate. Five, stoop heights shall be visually comparable to other historic stoops to which they are visually related and shall not exceed 9 feet, 6 inches. Six, eaves shall extend no less than 12 inches beyond supporting walls, and gable and rake shall overhang at least 8 inches. Seven, all HVAC units, electrical vaults, meter boxes, and refuse areas shall be appropriately screened from all public rights of way. Thank you, and I now open for any questions from the board.
Thank you, thank you. Does anybody have any questions for her?
This is Stan Houle. I wanted to ask a question about what was the staff's concern with the brick divider on the rear porch. It sounds like this has come up before, and the board decided it wasn't an issue. So can you give me a little bit of background about that, about your concern?
So as far as this particular project, I believe it was the curved design of the feature that we didn't feel was appropriate or visually compatible.
Okay.
I have a question as well. So it appears that there's brick walls that go along that is going along the sides of the back, correct? But there's nothing that goes along the back portion of the property line, the north facade, is that right?
How it looks, yeah.
Like to yes, enclose the parking, essentially?
Mm-hmm. That is how it looks on the drawings, and staff had a similar concern, which is why we are asking for clarification regarding what walls or fences are proposed for the exterior of the property.
Okay, good to know. Does anybody have any other further questions for staff? Okay, would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record? Make sure you unmute. Mr. Ogletree, we can't hear you. You are fuzzy. Leah, is there anything that we can do to help him with his audio by chance? Is he calling in or? Mr. Ogletree, we can't understand anything that you're saying.
We don't think he knows that he's on.
He doesn't know that he's on?
That's what we think. Is Harley Chris be on as well? Okay.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Leah?
Yeah, we don't know what's going on because Julie sound checked him at the beginning and it was fine. Is Harley Krinsky on? Julie? Is Harley Krinsky on there?
I can't see.
Maybe we can get Harley to try and speak.
Who is that, the architect?
Roy Ogletree's the developer. Harley's the owner.
Oh, the owner. Okay.
Harley is self-muted.
Yeah, do you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Hold on. I'm trying to get in a position where I can just pull this up. I apologize. I didn't think I'd be presenting.
No, you are fine. Mr. Ogletree, we still can't hear you.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Here we go. Middle packet. I guess in regards to the brick, what the staff said about the brick that is curved, I guess that maybe I'm not following where it's curved. I know we have a brick wall going along East Broad and then a brick wall dividing the two townhomes heading back towards Hull Street. Can the staff clarify to me where they're seeing a curved?
Can you see the screen, Harley?
Yes, hold on one second.
Yeah, it's not quite curved, but we're talking about the divider wall in the back. If we could do something
on the patio level.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay, not the lower brick wall. I understand.
Yeah.
Yes, we'd be happy to work with staff on that. That's not a problem. That was just there in order to create a divider between the two. Whether we bring that down or, yeah, we'd be happy to make that straight.
Hello?
I think, is that Roy? Roy, you on there?
Yes. Yeah, I went back through and did it through the phone now.
Okay, Roy, I'll let you take it away.
Okay, sorry about that. I don't know what's going on with the audio on the computer. But this is Roy Ogletree, architect for Harley Krinsky on this project. And I believe you had a question for me before we got into that hang-up.
This is just an opportunity for you to address the what staff's recommendations were. And then there was questions that were involving the enclosure of the rear or the north facade, if you wanted to address those.
Okay, well, I'll go down the items that that I jotted down as items that need to be addressed in part two to move forward. Subdividing the property, the answer would be yes. These will be fee simple townhomes. So they will be subdivided into two separate parcels. Each parcel does meet the lot coverage requirement. We did the same procedure on all of the lots on the trust lot that we designed and developed previously across McDonough. So you go through the subdivision of the property once you have the buildings permitted. So that's a yes on the subdivision. The doors on the north side was the next thing I had written down. That was the garden level. That was to create access to a set of stairs that go to the main level through one entrance and then into the garden level as a separate entrance. That being on the rear of the building facing what, even though it's not a lane, it's in essence a lane on Hall Street, the way that it's treated by all the structures on that street. I didn't feel like the side-by-side doors would be an issue because they're set back far from the street. They have no real impact on the architecture that the public views, especially when you're going to have cars parked in front of those doors. We have two parking spaces per unit, per townhome. And the way that is set up, the brick wall along East Broad is it's not only a supporting wall for the second story or the main level balcony, it gives continuity along East Broad. That's the reason for the brick wall along that side, and it screens the automobile parking. The column on the opposite side was just because there was no need for any screening or compatibility of what's on that west side. So we were just going to support that that garden level, or the, I'm sorry, the main level balcony with a column rather than a brick wall. I'm sure Harley would have no objection to making that either a brick column or a short brick wall, but I certainly don't think we need to extend it the full length of that property line on the west side. As far as across the Hall Street entrance to the parking, we really can't put a wall across there and still provide parking. We had a similar issue on the townhomes that were referred to as Perry Street townhomes that are across McDonough. They are the stucco three-story townhomes across, there you go. We had a similar issue, except for we had such a wide width of right-of-way there that we were able to put automatic gates that did not infringe over the sidewalks, and that was a requirement when we built the design and built those, was that we could not put those gates, which gave us some sense of a continuity of that property line. We could not have put those gates had we not had wide right-of-way, because the city would not allow us a gate to swing over the sidewalk. So on Hall Street, we just don't have the luxury of the space to provide anything along there for enclosure, because it would definitely eclipse the sidewalk and just about get into the street if we had any kind of gates opening there. So that's the reason there's no wall across there. Now we can put a wall. In fact, I thought we had sent a revision to staff where we did do an enclosure for trash cans in that center space between the two sets of pervious pavers we have shown there, and maybe that just did not get conveyed, but it would be a portion of a brick wall from pervious paver to pervious paver that would also be a place to screen trash cans. I don't see it on these drawings, so I'm not sure why it's not there. But that was the intent, was to break those two units up. Go down. There you go. Yeah, brick lattice enclosure. That's what I'm referring to. So it's a brick wall about 4 feet long, same height as the brick wall along East Broad. So it's an S shape, if you will, so one townhome can store the trash can on one side and one on the other side, and pretty well enclosed. Those are my comments on that. The inset of the doors, of course, that's no problem. 3-inch inset, because we have a brick veneer on the garden level. So that's an automatic 3.5 to 4 inches of recess there. And then we will provide in part two window details of the trim, header and jams and sill. We will have a maximum 9'6" stoop height. The overhangs are 12 inches minimum, and we will put the dimensions on all of the overhangs on part two. Then I had noted here about the screening, the HVAC. I just addressed that with the fence in the rear. And I think that's all of the comments that I had written down to address at this time.
Okay, so just to clarify, you said that the reason why there's no gate at the rear, aka the north facade, is because then it would encroach on the public sidewalk.
That's correct. There's no way to put any kind of a gate there, and if we put a fence, then it negates the ability to put off street parking, which is required.
Right. Okay. Thank you, sir. Does anybody else have any questions for the applicant and or staff? Okay. Being none, is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Please use the raise your hand feature if so. Julie, do we have any members in the public?
No, we don't have any.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so at this time, we'll now enter into board discussion and no further comments will be accepted. Let me start with you, Mr. Dodge.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the submitter's willingness to work with staff. In favor of this project, it's a big improvement, obviously, and for that lot. And I agree with staff's recommendations and have no further comment.
Okay, Mr. Poole.
I too appreciate the architects and the owner's willingness to look at staff's recommendations and work with them. Again, I think it's going to be a great project, and I agree with staff's recommendations.
Okay, Ms. Memory?
I also agree with staff's recommendations.
Okay, Mr. Stevens?
No comments.
And Mr. Altshuler?
I agree with all those who do agree.
Okay. Considering nobody else really had many comments to say other than agreeing with staff, we will now entertain a motion.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Mr. Houle, and I move that the Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 22000650 COA 221 East Broad Street provided the conditions outlined in the staff recommendation are met.
Thank you, Mr. Hull. Do we have a second?
Evan Dodge, I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Dodge. Is there any discussion on the motion? Okay, currently we have a motion made by Mr. Hull to approve the petition with the conditions listed in the staff report and seconded by Mr. Dodge. Mr. Dodge, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Hull?
Aye.
Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Mr. Stevens?
Aye.
And Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Okay, so the petition has been approved with conditions.
Thank you very much. This is Roy Ogletree. I guess I'm signing off. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. A list of the staff reviews have been attached to the agenda. I am going to read through each one, so just bear with me. The petition of Window World, Richard King, 22-000421-COA, 114 East Jones Street, window replacement, 1 facing lane. Petition of the house doctor, Charles Angel, Angel, sorry for butchering that, 22-000443-COA, 402 East State Street, repaint and in-kind window in-kind wood siding repairs. The petition of Wright Square Holdings, LLC, Michael Higgins, 22-000526-COA, 21 West York Street, sign replacement. The petition of Ward Architecture, Josh Ward, 22-000567-COA, 306 West State Street, brick repointing on the south and west facades. The petition of Long Run Gutter Systems and Restorations, Robert Page, 22-000608-COA, 311 East Charlton Street, aluminum gutter, guard, and hanger system with downspout replacement. The petition of South Shore Roofing, Kyle Patrick, 22-000668-COA, 238 Haversham Street, roof replacement in kind. The petition of Allaire Homes, David Balaza, 22-000696-COA, 217 East Gaston Street, amendment to 21-000282-COA, alteration of approved rear porch addition. The petition of Alchemy Restoration, Michael Gonzalez, 22-000746-COA, 11 East Jones Street, masonry gate slash exterior wall reconstruction. I'm going to do a voice vote for the acknowledgement of that. All in favor of acknowledgement, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. With that, the staff reviews have been acknowledged. Attached are the reports regarding...
excuse me, Ellie, you all didn't make a motion on that. You just voted.
Oh, sorry. Okay, back up. Can someone make a motion for me?
This is Melissa Memory. Motion to approve.
Thank you, Ms. Memory.
Second, Mr. Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Now moving forward, the work performed without a certificate of appropriateness. There are three reports there for the work that exceeds the scope of the issued COAs, work inconsistent with issued COAs, and work performed without a COA. And then there are further, there are reports that are items that are deferred to staff, such as in the stamp drawings, items deferred to staff report, and then the COA inspections. There are no notices, proclamations, or acknowledgments. And we do have a few items under new business. So, Leah, I will let you discuss those.
So, we're going to have to postpone the whole nomination process for a vice chairperson until we can get some more information. Everybody except Mr. Stevens' terms are up. And nobody has been reappointed yet. Right. So, yeah, so we have to go without a vice chairperson for now.
Okay.
So we'll postpone that. And as far as the other two, we did do those in the pre-meeting, unless anybody has any additional questions about those.
I don't think Mr. Dodge was there, so I was just going to give him the opportunity if he wanted to know more about it or if he was going to review it on his own time.
Could I ask, is that, like this meeting, has that one been recorded that it can be listened to online? Or?
The pre-meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
We do not record or put the pre-meeting online.
Oh, we don't. My bad. I thought it was being recorded. Do you want to review those items on your own? Do you want Leah to do a quick summation for you?
I could review them on my own. And Leah, if I have any questions, I'll be happy. I mean, if it's okay, I could email you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Okie dokie. With that, I will discuss the fact that the next HGBR pre-meeting is Wednesday, April 13th at 12 p.m. and the regular meeting is the same day at 1 p.m. Starting at this next meeting will be in person for all the meetings coming forward. So that's exciting to start seeing everybody in person again, not just hear voices. Leah, do you have anything else before I ask for a motion?
I do not. You will be, still getting your quorum call from Bree. And if you're coming to the pre-meeting, lunch orders when she calls you.
Gotcha. Awesome. Oh,
yes. Well, unless not possible for, reasons discussed with individual board members, then it'll be in person.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Woman's scout.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next month in person.
Have a good one.